This is Leafs Breakfast.
So, before we get into Dave Poulin and get into Leaf talk, I have to share this funny story that happened to me yesterday. So, during the break, I do a live Frank Leo read every day. And my son is in the car with me yesterday, and when we're in the car, we listen to 1050, so he hears the Frank Leo reads that run throughout the station. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, my son in the back seat reaches out to me, and he goes, "Daddy, I'm famous." "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, I got a website." I was like, "Wait a minute, you got a website?" And my son's like, he's amazing with iPads. I'm like, "This guy signed up a website on with his own domain?" I go, "Really? How'd you do that?" He goes, "It's getleo.com. I got my own website." So my son is popular because he hears getleo.com because of Frank Leo every day.
Well, I mean, he's got the hockey in his blood, but if not, perhaps sure real estate would work out for young right. Leo Koliakova. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. I will say, Carl, there's going to be a time in your very near future when Leo soars by you in terms of what he's doing and what capable of. And, you know, it happened to me, and it happened essentially at the Scrabble table when I realized I had no chance. I was playing against three girls, and I had zero chance of winning a game of Scrabble, like none.
Wow.
And competitive and just unbelievable. And the more two-letter words than I'd ever knew existed in my life. And so that's coming with Leo. It'll come in the computer age, but it'll come way sooner than you expect or that you really are comfortable with.
Well, I just hope it's a Get Leo website and not some other website that he signs up to. So
he'll be just fine. It'll be sports related.
Knowing his dad, he'll be signing up for a lot of websites, be my guess.
Well, Pooley, since you brought up Scrabble, let's play Scrabble with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick Robertson is a name that has caught a lot of people's attention. I'll give you how I feel about Nick Robertson. I think he's done exactly what he's needed to do with an opportunity of an injury, put himself in a position where he can start the year in the top six. But if we were playing Scrabble with this lineup, where do you envision Nick Robertson to be once everybody's healthy?
I think once everybody's healthy, he's pushing to be with John Tavares and Willie Nylander on the second line. I think that's the ideal situation. I think that's what the Leafs would prefer. He's arguably the most skilled of that group. And that's where he fits the best in his mind and with his game. And there are pieces to look after. But he's taken advantage of a situation. Just as you speak about that line with Kerfoot and Nylander was good again the other night. I mean, they're showing that they can answer right now with Tavares out of the lineup. And I think that's where he fits, Carlo. I really do, because I think Kerfoot is more valuable a little bit further down in the lineup.
Yeah, Dave. No, I agree for sure. And the thing for me is that, like, if Robertson is pushing a guy or pushing for a spot to stay on that, who comes out of the lineup after that when everybody's healthy? Because you've got to remember, a healthy lineup, they're only carrying 20 players.
Well, and that'll be the chess game. And there's still a lot of work to do in terms of getting this lineup in order from a cap standpoint. Mm-hmm. With John Tavares out, there's a lot of work to do in the next, you know, handful of days. But from a cap standpoint, he fits in whatever they're doing. And, you know, you see the ramp up of exhibition season, and it's the same every year. It will always be the same in terms of how camps break. You know, you get that early push and lineups are nowhere near full lineups, and you get, you know, a young player who will stand out. Then it levels a little bit, and then you see the veterans are getting more involved, a little more interested, and you know, starting to ramp up their games a little bit. And some of the rookies will continue to excel, and some of the younger players will fall off a little bit when the game starts to press up. And it's still not regular season speed. We know that, and it's still not regular season lineups. And you're not 100% sure what you're going to get from Detroit this weekend in terms of lineups. Ideally, you would say, we're matching and going full Friday and Saturday night. But we've talked about this before in the show. We used to play Detroit back-to-back. And Kenny Holland, you know, would say, yeah, you're not getting a lineup in your building. You're not getting, you know, here's who we're sending. We're saying, come on, Kenny, you can't do that. And, you know, you can't. And because you want to put a lineup in front of your fans. And then you're going back to Detroit the next night, and you're saying, okay, here's what we're coming back with. you know, we're going to do the same thing to you. Well, that satisfies nobody and nothing, because now you've got, you know, a lesser team playing against a greater team two nights in a row. And they were always the last two exhibition games of the year, so you just don't get a feel for where you are with your lineup or what your team has. And so I think you've got to say in your own mind how you're doing what you're doing, and you're not trying to match up whatever Detroit is doing in these last couple of games. And even the setting up of this schedule, the setting up of this exhibition schedule would have been done months ago, guys, and with the border still in mind. And, you know, the fact that you're playing multiple games against Montreal and Ottawa, to say that, you know, in case the border is still an issue, we're not going to bring it into play. We're not going to, you know, and let's face it, it's only how long since it's eased up, you know, just recently with the NavCan app and all those things that are required. So even putting Detroit on back when you did was a little bit of a risk in crossing the border. All of that is eased now. But you've played against three teams in this exhibition series. You were 60 points ahead of Montreal, 42 ahead of Ottawa, and 41 ahead of Detroit. So even in terms of the lineup, you know, you're posting, you're playing against three teams that were down near the bottom of the NHL last year. You've just got to worry about your own group.
Dave Poulin with us, TSN hockey analyst here on Leafs Breakfast. Dave, does Matt Murray's 43 save on 44 shots preseason so far, he's been pretty good to my eye, mean anything to you at all as far as projecting what we could expect this season?
It does. It does, for sure. And I don't think we should be, I guess, overexcited about the good. We would have been over-frustrated or over-challenged with the bad, and it hasn't been there at all. Both guys have been good, and they both played a half a game flawlessly, and Samsonov has played his full game flawlessly, and Murray, you know, gave up one. But that's exactly what you were looking for, exactly. Goaltending has not been an issue. Now, the team has only given up 9 goals in 5 games, so they've done their part as well. And we've talked about the hybrids of lineups, but you play with whom you have. And I think goaltending has not been a story, and that's a very good thing, because it was a very big story going in for all the reasons it should have been a big story going in. And yet those two guys have answered. I thought Murray looked really good in the last game. I thought he made, you know, a handful of saves in particular that showed really good lateral movement. And, you know, his play at times, particularly last year, when it looked like he had taken the net in Ottawa, clearly taken the net, and we do, you know, a lot of those games, and you were saying, okay, this is the Matt Murray that Ottawa traded for. And the problem was it wasn't able to be sustained, and it was injuries, you know, that always crept up and took him out. So he has to get through that part and said, okay, it's been great through the exhibition season in your, you know, moments that you've played, and you've been tasked with half game, full game, and you've done very well. Now it's got to continue. And maybe it continues with the proper push from Samsonov. And Samsonov is thinking, okay, I've done exactly what I've been asked to do. And now if you were leaving it exactly as you're leaving it right now, I'm assuming you're seeing them once more each. Who's your starter on opening night?
And it's Matt Murray.
You know, it's Matt Murray. And that's exactly right. And I think he played like a guy that knew that in the last game, which is exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, it sure is, Pooley. Well, I bet you Matt Barzal was looking for a nice contract, which he received yesterday. 8-year deal with a 9.15 AAV salary. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, because, look, I'm happy for the player. I'm always happy for the player when the player gets a good contract. But I'm surprised at the number. I mean, Matt Barzal has scored 22 goals once in his career. He hasn't come close to that in the remaining 5 years of his tenure on the island. He's an average 60-point guy. I mean, is that what we're talking about now as the sort of ceiling of what guys make at $9 million? Is a 20-goal scorer a 60-point guy?
I would say the number surprises me, and yet this is all about their internal cap and what they're looking at. And if they think that Matt Barzal is their best forward, and in that group, I believe he's their best forward, but significantly higher than Anders Lee, who's their second highest paid forward. And, you know, in the group that they've got coming, I guess you'd argue the most skilled kid is Oliver Wahlstrom, the young college forward out of BC. And Barzell's clearly, this is about their internal cap. They've set their internal cap just over $9 million, which is reasonable for where the league is moving forward. I'm not sure Matthew Barzell right now is a $9 million player.
Yeah,
the way
I
he
don't
burst in
either.
The league. Well, the way he burst in the league, it certainly looked like he was
right
in that first year.
But has it come close to that in the next 5 years?
He hasn't. Now, he's had some injuries. There's a shortened season in there. But this is about projection. They think they know what they've got. It's been 5 full years. They think they know what they've got in Matt Barzell. But the number did surprise me. And maybe it surprised me more coming out of Long Island and Lou Lamoriello.
Lou.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a trust factor that goes with Lou and his decisions that you almost dismiss your question, Carlo, and say, well, it's Lou.
Right.
Like there's this little asterisk that's over to the right and says, well, it's Lou. But it is that 85-point year that he roared out of the gate within the NHL. He didn't, he came out, just blazing. He wins Rookie of the Year, and it looks like, wow, this is a 100-point guy every year. But he has been banged up a little bit, but, and then all of a sudden it falls back, and it's more, well, maybe this is a 60-point guy.
Right.
But they think he's their best offensive player. They've set their internal cap. And their internal cap, by the way, at the forward position is over $2 million high than they're paying their captain right now, who's put up a number of higher goal seasons for sure in Anders Lee.
Dave, I'm curious to know your thoughts on the Ottawa Senators heading into the season. We've got games coming up on Friday from Prague. Could the Leafs open up 7 days from today? And Ottawa's been the story of the offseason, especially here north of the border, all the moves they've made, trades, big free agent acquisitions. And I remember back in July when we had you on, I think you might have said you're on the verge of being a playoff team this year. As the season inches closer, do you still view them in that same light?
I do. I think they're a team that's coming and it's going to cause problems. The injury to Cam Talbot hurts a little bit because I think he sort of calmed down their second goalie position very nicely behind Anton Forsberg. But I think Forsberg can carry the mail for, the first month or 5 weeks of the season or whatever it's going to be for Talbot. The questions they had going in, I think they've answered some of them. I think Jake Sanderson's the top four NHL defenseman. I see nothing to dissuade me from saying that. And, and I'm comparing them guys to two-year college defensemen that have come out. And, Charlie McAvoy came out after 2 years at BU and Quinn Hughes 2 years at Michigan and Cale Makar 2 years at UMass. And these guys came out after 2 years of college and were ready to play. And the people I talked to in NCAA think that Jake Sanderson's on that same curve. He's a bigger guy, actually, than most of those guys. And he's 6'2", and he's rangy, and he can skate, and he can think the game well. And it looks like they found a good partner for him in Travis Hamonic. And, a veteran that can kind of take a little bit of heat off him. But he looks good, and his skating gets him out of a lot. And, he'll have some defensive flaws just because he's a young defenseman. But I think that was a big question going in. DeBrincat's going to score, guys. He just flat out is. Mm-hmm. And he's going to play with Giroux, who, looks very fresh right now. And
savvy.
Think about going,
very
he
savvy.
Does. He's a smart player. And I think DeBrincat early on tried to show that he was capable of more than just scoring. When the guy gets traded and he's a scorer and he's a shooter and he gets, trumpeted up for all those reasons, and he goes in, well, wait a second, I can pass too. And then it was like the last game on Saturday night, not last night, but Saturday night, when he said, yeah, I'll forget this, I'm a scorer, I'm going to shoot the puck, and he did every time he touched it. And he got a couple goals and got the overtime winner. Scored again last night, set Giroux up for a good one last night. Timmy Stützle will play between those two guys. And the other line hasn't really got going, but what they're capable of with Tkachuk and Batherson and Norris. But I think they're balanced up front. Guys, the sleeper in that group is Shane Pinto. This kid's a really good player.
You've loved him for a couple of years, eh, Pooley?
I have. I did a couple of his first games in the league. He only played like 5 games, and then he got hurt his second year. Mm-hmm. Carly, he's bigger than you think he is. He's 6'2", and he plays a kind of a longer game than you think. And defensively, we knew what he was capable of. He won the Defensive Player of the Year, but also the Player of the Year when he was at North Dakota. And that's kind of a rare combination in college because you do have older guys who are defensive specialists. And for a young guy to win that award, but he's really smart and he has scored. Like, he can shoot the puck and he's playing the bumper position on the power play. And, you know, they're having this thing about, oh, first and second power play, we got too many power play guys. Well, nobody has too many power play guys. And I get into quite an argument on Ottawa radio with Sean Simpson about that and said, look, I mean, the unit that's scoring will be out there. And it's been that unit, the second unit, but it's Shane Pinto in the bumper position. Now, when you have to bring it off the back door and you both right shots, that's kind of where the focus of the defense goes over to that side. And so you're open in the middle. But he's showing he can execute that. I think he's got three goals from almost the same position, and they're rocket shots. I'm a big fan of the player, and that's your number three centerman, and that lets you balance things nicely, you know, through three lines, because defensive matchups are no issue for this kid at all.
Dave, thanks for doing this for us this morning. The next time we speak to you next week, it'll be Leafs and Habs opening night. Cannot wait for that, and we appreciate you doing this for us again. So we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. Enjoy your day.
All right, you too, buddy. Dave Poole, and TSN hockey analyst. Hour number three of First Up coming up on the other side. MLB Network's Greg Amsinger will look ahead to the Jays and the Mariners, which begins on Friday at some time. We don't know the schedule quite yet, but we'll work to get that for you. And some burning Toronto sports questions from our producer, Arad Osfandi, in 15 minutes. Hour three of First Up next.